You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
I think we've got a great show lined up for you. Obviously, a lot of football talk. We've got Ty and Jake who are producing the show. They said what moved the needle with Dave's show was a lot of Giants talk. I'm down for it. 800-919-3776. Also want to start looking forward to tomorrow. Mac Jones and Zach Wilson. The Mac Zach era begins. And stealing, of course, Rich Cimini. I got that out of Rich Cimini's column. Him and Mike Reese put together a really cool little column comparing both quarterbacks. If you have an opportunity to read it before tomorrow's game, you just might. Interesting little nugget. Mac Jones has a multi-poo named Rose. Didn't know what a multi-poo was. I go to the dog park at least twice a week. Had no idea what a multi-poo. I had to Google it. It's really a cute dog. Just comparing the two quarterbacks, their styles, their personalities, all of that. I'm excited for the game tomorrow. Beyond the wins and losses, which in my opinion, Jets fans should not even care about this season, to be quite frank. I'm just each and every game, I'm just paying attention to the performance with Zach Wilson. And I'll get into all that I liked, even though the Jets lost to Carolina, I'll get into all that I liked with Zach Wilson in week one. And this is going to be an even more difficult challenge for him. We know Bill Belichick's record against rookie quarterbacks to see what can happen in week two. Again, as we know, unfortunately, the Giants lose to that Washington football team for a number of reasons. We as human beings, we like to point out why. We want to know why. We want a reason why. Well, I think there is a number of reasons. If you're going to sit there and say that, you know, Dexter Lawrence, that penalty should not have been called. The ball was snapped before he moved. At the end of the day, it should not have gotten down to that. I know that's football and that's typically what happens. I think that was just a little too close for comfort to call. But nonetheless, there's a lot that's wrong with this Giants football team. A lot. And I don't know if everything could be rectified this season. So is this going to be another season for the New York football Giants that potentially finish third or last in the division? Right now, I host our gambling show, Week in Wager, last night from 10 to midnight. And the odds makers in Vegas now have the Giants finishing last in the division. They've got Dallas. It was very interesting. They've got Dallas first at plus 150. Then they have the Washington football team still at second. And the Eagles at third, even though the Eagles and Dallas are the two teams that the Eagles are the one team that's undefeated. Granted, it's week one. This week they've got a very difficult matchup against the 49ers. But that Eagles team, their defense, Hurts, very impressive in week one. I think that's going to be a fun game to watch with the 49ers and the Eagles tomorrow afternoon. So 800-919-3776, jump on board. We'll dive into some Giants talk, some Jets talk. Connor Rogers from Bleacher Report, always love having him on, is going to join us at 12:30. And then we'll kick off our second hour. We'll talk some baseball, Yankees, Mets. Mets lost last night. Yankees did win convincingly, that's for sure. But 14 games left. It really comes down to this, and it's going to come down to the wire. There's no denying that. You've got a Yankees team. Unfortunately, they're 30-37 against American League East opponents. And out of the 14 games remaining, 9 of them are against American League East opponents. All right? 3 at Boston, 3 at Toronto, and then how fun is that series going to be here in the Bronx against the Rays, October 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. So no doubt it's going to come down to the wire. Meanwhile, for the Mets, not looking good for them as they lost again. They're 5.5 back to Atlanta. So we're going to have Mike Puma on with us at 1:30, and he's got a great article out in the Post this week talking about the future for the Mets and what's to happen with the management. And what has happened with Steve Cohen as the owner? What do you do with Sandy Alderson? What do you do? Who do you bring in? Is it Theo Epstein? Is it Billy Beane? Do you keep Rojas? All these questions. Really, really great article. I recommend you read it, and we'll dive into it with Mike Puma at 1:30 this afternoon. Cynthia Freeland, who joins us each and every Saturday at 2 o'clock today. Excited to get her on. We'll get her take on what she anticipates for the Jets and the Patriots game. And there are a number of really good matchups, but probably none more exciting than Kansas City and the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday night. So we'll find out her take, also her fantasy football knowledge, and who she likes heading into week two. I'll open up the phone lines as well. Hopefully you're 1-0 after week one of your fantasy football season and looking to continue that winning streak. If you are 0-1, then maybe you need some really desperate advice in who to start and who to sit. So we'll take your calls. And as always, Joe Wiz joins us on the show at 2:30 each and every Saturday. He has his own gambling show here on 98.7 ESPN. He's got some college football plays as well as some NFL plays for you. Really quick, before we take a break and we come back and really dive into the Giants and series of misfortunate events that transpired in that game against Washington, I just want to give you my plays right now so you can get on board in college football. I like the over 60 in the Alabama-Florida game. I like Michigan State getting 8.5. And I like Auburn getting 5. Those are my 3 college football plays for today. Just want to get that out of the way really quick because, as we know, it is 12:10. So now all the college football action starts happening. Anita Marks with you, 800-919-3776. We come back. Let's dive into that Giants-Washington game. I'll give you all the reasons why, A, I believe they lost. I don't think I'm breaking any news here. But more importantly, what are the realistic expectations for this Giants team this season, even though we're just 2 games in? What should Giants fans realistically expect? Do you feel that this is a team that could turn it around? Now, next week they take on Atlanta. I think Atlanta will get their butts handed to them by the Tampa Bay Bucks this week, you know? So is Atlanta a team that the Giants could win, could beat? Absolutely. Also, I want to share with you, very interesting, I got a great email this week with the odds. Now that, of course, we have one more game on the docket, now we're up to 17 games as opposed to 16. You know, what are the odds? What are the percentages? What are the analytics saying in regards to the probability of a team making it to the postseason being 0-2 like the Giants?
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7. ESPN.
I said I wanted to share with you, received an email yesterday from our brainiacs up there in Bristol, Connecticut, giving us, you know, all the inside information with the statistics and whatnot. So the Giants, as we know now, they're sitting at 0-2, okay? And this is all new. This is new territory, keep in mind, because of the extra game, the 17 games as opposed to the 16. So at 0-2, the Giants have an 11.6 chance of making it to the playoffs, a 5.8 chance of winning the division, and a 1.2 chance of winning the Super Bowl. Okay? If they lose to Atlanta next week, which I don't anticipate, I think the Giants do win, next week, but let's just say, hypothetically speaking, I'll give you both scenarios. If they're 0-3, making the playoffs drops to 2.6, winning the division drops to 1.3, and winning the Super Bowl, zero chance at all. Now, if they beat Atlanta next week and they go 1-2, playoffs then become 24.8%, winning the division then becomes 12.7%, and winning the Super Bowl remains at 1.2%. Just FYI. Okay. Giants game, as we know, again, losing to Washington. So many things went wrong in that game. The Slayton drop, Dexter Lawrence, the penalty, Board, the holding call. You know, to pinpoint one thing, I mean, obviously everybody wants to point to the Dexter Lawrence penalty because that was the last thing that happened. It allowed Washington to kick a field goal, try for the field goal again, and they made it. They win, game over, Giants 0-2. Now, going into this game, let's rewind. Going into the Giants game, I was all over Washington. Even though the Giants and Daniel Jones has Washington's number, I did believe that Washington was going to win because of all the issues that was being reported in regard to the offensive line. What am I talking about? Well, let's start with Solder, who I believe was benched last week. Okay, the Giants want to spin the narrative and say that they were rotating guys on the offensive line. Fine, I'm not buying it. Dude was benched. Lemieux, knee injury, he's out. So now they have to shuffle the line. Price comes in at center. He's only been with the team for 2 weeks. The chemistry between a quarterback and a center is very unique, all right? Beyond stating the obvious, okay? And your center is really your point guard on that offensive line. So right there was a huge concern. So now you're moving guys around. I really don't feel that Hernandez should be a left guard, not a right guard. That's my own two cents. I felt that this offensive line was not going to perform well going up against a Washington team who I had Bram Weinstein, who is part of the Washington media, football, their own in-house media, on the show with me earlier in the week, and he was saying that their defense, and as well as the Giants' defense, very upset with both their performances within themselves, within their locker rooms in week one, and they wanted to come out and they really wanted to ball out in week two. And I have some big, hefty expectations for that Washington defense, specifically their front seven. And they have underperformed 2 weeks in a row. So That was, and you hear it all the time, right? Quote unquote, you know, one lost in the trenches. And I just felt like the huge advantage for Washington based on all the shuffling that was going on with the Giants. So listen, I get it. I know the Giants are 0-2. I just shared with you the probability of them winning the division, advancing, possibly making it to the playoffs. And it looks bleak. I get that. But here's the silver lining to me, and that is the way that Daniel Jones played on Thursday night, to me, best game I've ever, even though the Giants lost, best game I've ever seen him play. Best game I've ever seen him play. And he needed to. And so, you know, I going into this season, I had the Giants winning 8 games. Maybe they make it into the playoffs as a wild card. Maybe they don't. I don't have them winning the Super Bowl this year. So, and I'm not sitting here trying to walk you off the ledge. I understand, and I'm going to get your calls in just a second. But, you know, even if the Giants maybe only win 6 or 7 games this season, but if you as Giants fans and me as a person who worked for the organization, I do root for the organization. I want the organization to do well. If this is the year that we see Danny turn the corner, right? Because again, you know, that holding call, that was a rushing touchdown for Daniel Jones, right? Should have had 2 rushing touchdowns. Dude almost rushed for 100 yards. Ran 21.5 miles an hour. That's what he was clocked at. So Even if the Giants don't make it to the postseason, even if the Giants only win 6-7, again, I think they'll be fortunate to win 8 games this season. If the Daniel Jones question is answered, doesn't that make this season not so hard to swallow, not so disappointing? And I'm going to correlate, I'm going to use this as well as an example in regard to the Jets and what I've been saying for months now. Jets fans, it's not about win and losses this year for the Jets organization. It's not. It's watching the development of Zach Wilson. And I'm going to get into that. I'm going to get into week one a little bit later on in the show. Again, we're going to have Connor Rogers who's going to be joining us as well. But I'm starting to feel, especially after this past game, And a lot of issues that this Giants team is dealing with right now, that's for sure. To me, it's not about wins and losses. Again, I toss up for them to make it to the postseason. Even if they did make it to the postseason, what type of run do you think they would have had? I just, this isn't the year for the Giants. They're close. I do believe they're close. But more importantly for me is watching Daniel Jones develop into the quarterback that the Giants drafted him to be. And I truly believe that Thursday night was step one. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Chris. Chris in Brooklyn. Welcome in. What you got?
Hey, Anita. So I need some fantasy input from you.
Okay.
So I'm in two 12-team half PPR leagues, and my flex spot is basically blown up with, like, Josh Jacobs is out, Will Fuller's not playing. I have some high upside rookies like Elijah Moore, Trey Sermon, but I don't think they're ready to start. So in both leagues, I have to make a decision right now between Van Jefferson and Latavius Murray.
I love Latavius Murray. I know that Williams was the one who got the start, but Latavius Murray actually got more touches than Williams last week. Here's a sneaky good play for you. Is Donovan Peoples-Jones available?
I'd have to check, but I can't play in this league. We can't throw tight ends in a flex spot.
He's not a tight end. He's a wide receiver. Odell Beckham Jr. is out, and Anthony Schwartz is dealing with a knee injury.
Interesting. I'll go check.
They're going up against Houston.
Would you start Murray over Peoples Jones, or you go Peoples Jones over both?
You said it's a half point PPR. I would go Peoples Jones because it's a PPR. But here's another thing. If he's available, pick him up, dude. Pick him up.
Well, I'm gonna go search the waiver wire right now. Thank you.
All right, Chris. You got it. Good luck.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN. This is Click.
Click. Click. Click.
Or don't. Click. Click. Very simply, here's the headline. Are you interested in clicking or not?
It is time for Click or Don't Click, a fun way. We take our tour around our wide, wide world of sport to find out what is trending at 1:07 p.m. on this Saturday afternoon. And we let our producers, Jake and Ty, lead the way. Gentlemen?
All right, so we left off doing the spreads for tomorrow's games. We're looking at underdogs, as I mentioned. Eight won outright last week. Eight underdogs won outright, including five on the road. But before we get back to those games, just want to mention, it's the home opener for the Jets tomorrow.
Woo!
And, you know, Zach Wilson, I thought he played pretty well last week. The offense was a mess. The abomination that was the offensive line, you know, couldn't contain that pass rush for Carolina. Now you lose Mekhi Becton for the next 4 to 8 weeks. So it's safe to say that him at his apex, we probably won't see until at the earliest next season. Hopefully he can return back healthy this year, but you know we'll get him next year and see if he can continue to ascend to the offensive lineman that we think he could be. Zach Wilson, though, says he is excited to face Bill Belichick and the Patriots.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited for it. You know, I think it's going to be a good challenge for me. You know, tons of great learning, I'm sure, and then also just, you know, these guys are part of our division, so we're going to play them a lot, you know, and this year and in the coming years, of course. And so it's just, you know, getting used to this scheme, you know, how we can beat some of the things they're going to throw at us. And, you know, it's no secret what they're going to throw at us. It's like, you know, now you got to try and stop it. And so that's the, you know, the big question. You know, we have, I think, a lot of good things we've been working on this week.
Excited to play Bill Belichick. I don't know about that. The Jets have lost 10 straight games to the Hall of Famer. He is tough on young quarterbacks. Darnold saw ghosts on that Monday Night Football game 2 years ago. Four interceptions. So hopefully we can elude that tomorrow. Big game for the Jets. You don't want to fall to 0-2 because, like the Giants, you'll feel like the season is over. And I get the expectations aren't high. But this is a big game, and hopefully they can come out strong tomorrow. They will have a couple of their receivers back in action tomorrow. You get Jamison Crowder returning from the COVID list, and you also get Keelan Cole, and here's Robert Saleh on adding Jamison Crowder back to the mix.
Veteran presence, no different than Corey, right? Those guys do things the right way. They're where they're supposed to be. They're all gas 100% of the time, and they're reliable. So it's, for a quarterback, you can't ask for much more than that. And so to have two more options on the football field for that quarterback is priceless.
All gas, no breaks.
All righty, so my turn. My headline for the Click or Don't Click today is East. I thought you said least. All right, well, I'm taking a little line from SpongeBob, but I'm actually talking about the NFC East, which we already saw two teams play earlier this week on Thursday. Of course, our beloved Giants facing the Washington football team. It didn't end the way that we all wanted it to for the Big Blue, but this NFC East is still pretty much wide open, and it's a huge week for both the Cowboys and the Eagles. The Cowboys will be taking on the Chargers, and the Eagles will be taking on the 49ers, so they're both playing two impressive teams. But Anita, my question for you is, Dallas probably should be the favorites, but do you think that Philly can make some noise this season, possibly winning the NFC East or least, or whatever you want to call it?
Right, like, you know, they lose two defensive linemen. Right? Two defensive linemen. Their secondary is not good. We saw what the Bucs were able to do to them. And granted, yes, it is Tom Brady, but Justin Herbert is, man, he put on a clinic in week one. That offensive line is better. He's got a plethora of weapons around him that he's working with. So I like the Chargers. I think the Chargers beat the Dallas Cowboys this week. I really do. And for Philadelphia, they really impressed me. Listen, the biggest problem for Philadelphia is that they have not been able to be healthy for the last 3 years. Right now, their offensive line and their defensive line are healthy. Now, how long do they stay healthy? That really is the big question, because they get hit with the injury bug worse than any team in the NFL in the last 3 years. So we'll see what happens. But as long as those two positions are healthy for the Eagles, watch out. So I think this game against the 49ers is going to be really, really good on Sunday. I think it's going to be a really, really close game. That's why I like the Eagles. I take the Eagles +3.5. I'll take the Eagles on the money line. I like what I saw from Jalen Hurts. I like what they're doing offensively. I think the Eagles are going to present a problem for the 49ers.
All right. So I mentioned we have five games left. Let's start with the Falcons-Bucks. 12.5, Tampa Bay is giving Atlanta at home.
I wouldn't be shocked if Atlanta covers. I don't anticipate them to. I think Tom Brady, they've got, they're working with extra time. Don't forget they played on Thursday. I think they destroy Atlanta.
All right, we've got the Cowboys on the road against the Chargers.
I think the Chargers are that offense. I think they pick the Dallas Cowboys apart.
Okay, Titans Seahawks. Seattle's at home, giving 6.5. That's juicy. That's a tough one right there.
I think Tennessee keeps it tight. I think Tennessee had an off week one. I think Tennessee keeps it tight.
The hook here on Sunday Night Football is very interesting. Kansas City goes to Baltimore. 3.5
I think Kansas City wins by 10. I don't think Baltimore covers. No, Baltimore has too much. You know, they lost another offensive lineman and they lost another DB. I mean, it's just, and keep this in mind. Short work week out in Vegas, Monday night game, went into overtime. And then had to travel back across the country. And then again, losing more players left and right. I just, for whatever reason, Kansas City has Lamar Jackson's number. They can pressure him better than most. And the big key is they take Mark Andrews out of the equation. Every time they play the Baltimore Ravens, they take Mark Andrews out of the equation for Lamar Jackson. So, yeah, I think Kansas City wins by at least a touchdown, if not 10 points.
All right, and finally, Monday Night Football, you get Aaron Rodgers at home at Lambeau, giving 11.5 points to the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, I think that's too many points for a division rival, and you know, I know this Detroit team is god awful, but they do have Goff, and we saw him sling the rock last week, so I would be worried about the backdoor cover. I could see the Green Bay Packers winning by 10. I mean, listen, I could see the Green Bay Packers winning by 24 points. Like, right. Like, but the Packers didn't look great there. You know, here's a lot wrong with this Packers team, and not just the X's and O's and what's going on the field. Like the whole, I think we underestimated how disruptive this whole Aaron Rodgers situation is. At least I underestimated it. I mean, the Green Bay Packers looked god awful last week. I'm thrilled for Jameis Winston, but five touchdown passes, like it wasn't even just Aaron Rodgers who had an off day. The defense had an off day. So, you know, can they turn it around? Of course they can. This quickly? I don't know. Against Detroit, again, I could see Detroit losing by 10. So I'm staying away from this game, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Packers blew them out. But I can see this dog covering for sure.
All right, finally, we can end with baseball. The Yankees right now in action at home against Cleveland. They won yesterday. I was actually at the stadium.
You were?
Yeah, for the first time. I calculated it. It was like
did you have fun?
1,000 days. Yeah, it was fun. It was weird being around so many people in that capacity, you know, considering what we have been going through and what we continue to go through. But it was good to be back. I'm hopeful that at some point I can get back there. Maybe if the Yankees get to the wild card game, would love to watch Yankees Red Sox at the stadium on a nice Tuesday night in October. But they get the win last night. They're playing right now scoreless top of the first, so they're going to come to bat. 5 home runs for the Yankees, 2 for Gallo, 1 for Stanton, 1 for Judge, and 1 for Brett Gardner.
Yeah, so, everybody got some action last night, right?
So after that dreadful loss to the Orioles, they've now lost to the Orioles 3 times in the last 2 weeks, which can't happen.
Well, they don't have to face them again. Orioles are gone.
That vaunted Orioles lineup. The Yankees right now are a half game behind the Red Sox for the number one wild card. They are sitting at number 2 because the Jays lost to the Twins. So it's a lot going on. It's going to be a fun, quote unquote, fun last couple of weeks for the Yankees as this.
You think so? Is that how you would characterize it, as fun?
No, it's not fun at all.
Or stressful.
You'd love to be where the Rays are. Like when you're the Yankees and you come into the season with the best odds to win the pennant in the American League, the expectation is that on September 18th, you've got a nice little cushion in the American League East. You're up 5 games, up 6 games. You're setting your rotation. You're getting guys healthy and rested. What they're about to experience over the next 12 or so days won't be fun. It's going to be filled with anxiety, and you know, you just hope it doesn't end with the playoff exit. Like if you get to the wild card game and you lose, that is a massive failure.
14 games left. Again, 30. I said this when we opened up the show. 30-37 against American League East opponents, and they have 9 games remaining. They're going to be at Boston, at Toronto, and then of course October 1st, 2nd, and 3rd is against the Rays. That's going to be fun. And by the way, not only, again, Yankees just bottom of the first against the Cleveland Indians, but also the Orioles top of the first against the Red Sox, and they're up 2-0. So, Yankee fans, I know you're upset that you lost to the Orioles, but you got to root for them today. They're already up 2-0 against the Red Sox, just FYI. This has been Click or Don't Click. This is what's trending at 1:20 p.m. on this Saturday afternoon, 800-919-3776. We come back, we'll get to your calls. And also, we've got Mike Puma, who's going to be joining us in the next 10 to 15 minutes, talking all things Mets, not just, you know, what's happening right now in this season, but more so, let's talk big picture. What are the realistic expectations on the direction this franchise is headed in?
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Well, let's go to Ira in Staten Island talking about the Jets and the Patriots. Ira, you going to the game tomorrow?
Yep, God willing. Hopefully I'll talk to you on the way to the game. And listen, we'll see what happens tomorrow. But I wanted to just back up to last week with you, with Donald and Wilson, and get a chance to talk to you. I thought Sam did a nice job, but in the second half, he kind of showed you pretty much what he is. He did have his ups and downs. But I wanted to get your opinion on Wilson. I haven't heard you this week. I thought the first game, listen, he didn't have the protection, but I think overall for his first game as a rookie in that situation coming from BYU, I thought the kid made some really nice plays, and if somehow this coaching staff could give him a little more protection and he could get to see his reads a little earlier, you could see the kid has talent, and I just wanted to get your opinion on that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Ira, I actually, you may, and thank you for your call, Ira, you may not have been listening earlier, I did say I was really impressed with Zach Wilson, more so his toughness than anything else, his athleticism. Here's the thing. I don't think there's a ceiling for Zach Wilson. He's very raw. I can see why this coaching staff and Joe D fell in love with him. Right? Like, you can see it. He's just extremely, like, so comparing the two quarterbacks, Mac Jones and Zach Wilson, for example, Zach Wilson, more athletic. Zach Wilson, bigger arm. Zach Wilson, you know, the ability to scramble and create, buy more time for himself outside the pocket, all those things. Now, it's going to be on the Jets and the Jets organization to groom him, develop him, put good weapons, a good offensive line around him, build an offense that's going to suit his skill set to have him thrive. It's like, but meanwhile, Mac Jones on the opposite side that we'll see tomorrow is more of a finished product. And a big reason why is because he went to Alabama and he played in a pro-style offense at Alabama. So Mac Jones, not as athletic, doesn't have the big arm, but what does he have? He's got the advanced ability to read and decipher defenses better than most because of the offense and the, you know, the school that he went to and the opponents that he faced. He's got better accuracy right now. He's got more leadership. I don't know if I'm going to go there. I won't go leadership, but more. He has a better command of a pro-style offense than Zach Wilson. So immediately right now, winning ball games for the Patriots is going to become a lot easier for Mac Jones than it is Zach Wilson, because Zach Wilson is still, you know, a work in progress. But I could totally see why this organization and the powers that be fell in love with Zach Wilson. Because if you groom him and develop him correctly, sky really could be the limit. Sky could be the limit.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Here comes the money. Joe Wiz on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by PlaySugarHouse.com. Joe, what's up? How you doing?
Everything's going good. We're off to a flying start. The dogs are barking all over the place, and hopefully we can make some more money for everybody out there.
All right, let's do it. Let's start college football first and foremost. You gotta play in this Oklahoma State Boise game. What is it?
Well, right on my Instagram, I have the complimentary selection on the total in that game, the over in that game. I think there's going to be a lot of points scored in that game. Boise can certainly put some points on the board, and Oklahoma State's got a very good quarterback. The total's at 57. I think that total will go over by the time the fourth quarter starts. I like the total in that game to go over, expecting a high-scoring affair between these two teams.
Another game you like is Arizona State and BYU.
Yeah, when we look at this game here, BYU all of a sudden looks like they're a legitimate top 25 team. They're ranked 23rd right now. Arizona State, we're not sure what to expect from Herm Edwards and his team. I'm going with the home dog. I had BYU last week, and I like them again today. I think that they have a good chance of winning the game outright. So I have a live dog getting 3.5, and I think that they have a realistic chance of winning. So I'm taking them plus the 3.5, and I'm also taking them on the money line. And I know you like doing that when you play somebody's dogs and you feel they're going to win outright. So I'm jumping on the money line and the points.
Two games that I like. Well, first of all, I took Michigan State, by the way, with the points, and they're looking good right now. This was hard to do because, you know, my dad played for University of Miami. Mama Mimi's a huge University of Miami fan. She's texting me right now. I'm trying not to respond to her because I don't want her to know I put money down on Michigan State, and they are up 10-7.
Say, Anita, you can't bet with your heart. You can't bet with your emotion. You did the right thing. You bet with your brain, and betting the dog in that game is a smart move. The public was all over Miami in that game. It went all the way up to 7. I seen some places that had the line at 7.5.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are sleeping on Sparty this season, but we'll see what happens. They're about 6 minutes left in the third quarter, and they're up 10-7. Some other games, I like Wake Forest today, getting the points, by the way, getting +5, +6 in some places. I like Alabama over at 58, and I like Auburn +5. Those are my three plays. What do you think about those?
Well, when you look at the Alabama-Florida game, I talked about it on my show this morning. Alabama has scored 40 or more points in 11 of the last 12 games here. My question is, how well is Bryce Young going to play for the for this team? When you look at it here, the Gators, they're good on defense, but offensively they're challenged. Dan Mullen, as a head coach at Gainesville's 31-9, but he's very struggles against Urban Meyer, 0-10 lifetime. The last time that Mullen was on the winning side against Alabama was back in 2008, but he was an assistant coach under Urban Meyer. The total I agree with. I like the total that came over 59. I think Bama's going to score 35. I just got to hope that Florida can put some points on the board as well to make this game go over. I do like the total, though. I think Bama's going to just score up and down on the field there. And I'm sorry, what was your other game that you liked? That you said the Auburn-Penn State game?
Yeah, I like Auburn getting the points. I like Wake getting the points. And I like Alabama-Florida over. Those are my plays this afternoon.
Yeah, this game here between Auburn and Penn State, it's hard to figure out what we're going to expect from Auburn because they played two weak teams so far, Anita, and it's hard to gauge them. They played Akron and Alabama State. So Auburn right now is averaging 61 points per game. And, on the first-year head coach, Harsin, this team has potential, but I just don't know. Penn State, they've only allowed 23 points in two games so far, and they come up with that week one win against Wisconsin. I think that Penn State's defense is going to shut down Auburn. Auburn played two soft cakes games. The total games are 53, but I do lean towards Penn State in the whiteout game there. I like Penn State to shut down Auburn because Auburn's played two soft games, and this is their first road game. So I like the home team in that game.
Again, Joe Wiz joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. He has his own shows here on 98.7 ESPN that you could tune in to on Friday, Saturday, and I want to say Sunday morning as well, right?
Yes, Sunday morning. I'll be on tomorrow at 6 a.m. to set the tone. I know you're on all day Sunday, and everyone listens to your picks. Everyone's like, what does Anita have? I always tell them to tune in, and I'm happy to be on the show. You don't know how many people ask me, and they're like, when's Anita, what's Anita going to be doing? I just say, hey, she's on the air more than I am, so tune in, and I'm glad that we can work together and hopefully make some money for people out there. But I'll be on tomorrow at 6 a.m. to start out week two of the NFL season.
All right, well, let's dive into some of those plays that you're going to be talking extensively about tomorrow. And one of them, I understand, is Tennessee. I'm staying away from this game. So I'm really curious how you're playing it, what side of the coin you are on here, because I don't have a feel in this matchup at all.
Yeah, when you look at it here, the line is a little high in this game, Anita. If we were looking at this game and put it out week one, I think the line would have been maybe 4.5 or 5. I think you're getting a good value. I always look for value bets. Seattle looked impressive against the Colts last week on the road, and Tennessee looked terrible last week. So the line's inflated up to 7 here. I think that the Titans, with head coach Vrabel, I think they're going to get back to the ground and pound, give the ball to Henry, let him run, and hope Tannehill doesn't throw any interceptions. I think that this game here will be close than what the spread indicates here. I think it's a live dog. Tennessee does have a decent defense, and Seattle, like I said, they played really well against the Colts last week. I think they took the Colts. Colts were prepared to play Seattle. I think the Titans will come to play, and don't be surprised if you see a 24-20 game and we get the cover with the Titans.
Yeah, earlier in the show, Ty was mentioning there was a number of dogs that covered. Like an exceptionally high number of dogs that covered in week one. Curious if that's going to be the case in week two. I know another game that you like, and this is another dog, and that's the Colts. They did not look good in week one. Meanwhile, the Rams looked amazing in week one. Do you like the Colts here to cover?
Yes, I do. I'm glad you asked about that because you look at it here, Matthew Stafford did look good. But if you remember Sunday night game, which was only a week ago, I'm sure you do, the Rams... If the Bears scored an opening touchdown when that interception happened, if the Bears score, that game is a whole different game. It's very deceiving. I mean, the Rams did look impressive on Sunday. They won by 20, but that was not a 20-point game as far as I'm concerned. I don't trust Matthew Stafford on the road. His career, you know, he's pretty much been with the Lions, except now he's with the Rams. 10-15 against the spread as a road favorite in his career. And the Colts, they look terrible, but Carson Wentz wasn't that bad. 25 of 38 for 251 yards here. I think Frank Reich's going to get his team focused here. It's no surprise that the Colts lost last week. They lost 8 straight season openers here, but I think that the Colts really are in almost a must-win situation. Either after this, they have 3 straight tough road games here. This is an absolute must game here. Maybe they don't pull the upset, but I think this game's going to be a tight defensive game. I'm taking a home dog plus the 3.5, and wouldn't shock me if the Colts win the game outright.
Interesting. Might have to wager a bottle of wine with you on that one. I think it has the potential.
Yeah, I know,
but
you won your first bet last week with the Jets. I was the only person in the country that had the Jets, and I thought I was going to get a backdoor cover, and I was like, whoa, you know, all of a sudden.
No, it didn't happen. And last but not least, let's talk about the Ravens in Kansas City. That Sunday night game everybody's going to stay up for, I'm sure. Hopefully people will be heading into that game playing with house money. We'll see what happens. But 90% of the public money is on Kansas City. I have a feeling you're on the opposite side, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I made money. I bet against both of these teams last week. I bet against KC. I had Cleveland. I bet against Baltimore Monday night with the Raiders. And now we're going up against Mahomes, who's only 11-0 in September in his career, with 35 touchdown passes and 0 interceptions. You look at this on paper, but listen, KC was very fortunate to beat Cleveland. In their last 3 games, KC has not looked impressive. Obviously, there's only 1 game this year. They trailed against Cleveland the whole day. They needed a lot of miscues by the Browns, who self-destructed. Otherwise, the Browns should have won that game outright. We know about the Super Bowl, what happened with Tampa. And the playoff game prior to that against them, when they played Cleveland, they were very fortunate to win. The Ravens, on the other hand, I mean, we know they're banged up. I mean, Lamar Jackson's the only thing they have going for them right now. And Lamar is, I'm not a big Lamar Jackson fan, but I like him as a running quarterback. I don't trust him as a passer, but you know, in his career, he's 15-6 at home. And you know, Harbaugh knows that this team is in a really must-win situation as well. I know it's only week 2, but you really don't want to go down 0-2. I think that Baltimore hangs with the Chiefs. 90% of the people are on KC. There's only one way I could go in a game here. I'm expecting a high-scoring game more than I am Baltimore. I like the total of this game. It's 54.5. I think that this game will go over the total, but I also lean towards the home dog here. KC might win by a field goal, but I'm taking the home dog.
Wow. Okay. You like all the dogs this week, pretty much, it sounds like.
Hey, the dogs have been rolling. Your boy Ty has some good stats there, and I love it. I mean, the dogs covered last Sunday. What was it, 10 of 14 dogs came in the money? And so we're rolling with the dogs, and I hope that people are not afraid. I've been listening to your show all afternoon, and sometimes one valuable lesson I tell people out there, if you're not sure where to go, just take the dog, because some people are just on the fence. Whenever you're not on the fence, just take a dog, because you're already ahead of the game before the ball kicks off.
Or you don't have to bet every game.
That's which true. There are a lot of people out there that bet a lot of games. And I tell people, I said, bet smart. I mean, the more games you play, the less likely you are to win. So you can narrow it down to 2 or 3 games. And most people don't understand that. It requires a lot of discipline. I always use the analogy of, you know, going out to the bar and having 1 or 2 drinks and coming home, or, you know, going out and enjoying yourself. But betting a lot of games is not the right recipe. If you don't like something, just stay away from it.
Yeah, I mean, so typically what I do is, like, you know, I have like 3 or 4 plays on games that I really love, and that's where I spend the majority of my money. And then I've got I put games into the love column, and I put games into the like column. And so games that I love, I put more money down on. Games that I like are games that, like, I have fun with, right? Like, I'll put $5 on it, right? Like, just because because I want to have something on it, even if it's a dollar. Like, I want to have something on the game. And then I do the same thing with prop bets. Like, I go into each and every week with like a good 10 prop bets that I absolutely love. Like, for example, I'll give this to you right now. And I've been talking to Nathan Zagura, who is part of the Cleveland Browns broadcast team. And you've got Odell Beckham Jr., who's out. Anthony Schwartz is dealing with a knee issue. He wasn't able to practice on Wednesday and Thursday. I love Donovan Peoples-Jones. I loved him last week. For whatever reason, he played almost 100% of the snaps, but I want to say like 85% of the snaps, but didn't get a lot of targets. Schwartz was the one who got all the targets. Well, I really like he's going to be like the legit number two this week, opposite Landry. His over-under is 2.5 receptions. His over-under is 24 or 26.5 receiving yards. Like, to me, that's like taking candy from a baby. Like, that's one of my favorite prop bets. Also, LaVisca Chenault, over 0.5 of rushing yard. So all he has to do is rush for 1 yard and you win money. And I want to say it's like minus 110. And at least once in it, go back and look at his stats, at least once in his last 8 games, he's getting a carry. He's getting a touch. So, like, I just, like, to me, that's, like there's certain prop bets out there that I just absolutely love. And, you know, I'll play, you know, I'll put more money on the ones that I love, obviously.
Well, I know you do a lot of research on the prop bets, and it does require a lot of work, and I agree with that. I mean, you know, there are opportunities sometimes. But, yeah, listen, there are a lot of people out there that like to make wagers and like to sit home and watch the game. That's fine, but I always tell people, stay away from betting with your heart and betting with emotion, because that's what a lot of people make mistakes with, and try and make an educated decision. And a lot of times people will bet their favorite team just because it's their favorite team, and that's the wrong reason to do it. So I'm hoping when they listen to you and my show and all that other stuff that they learn, you know, it's okay to go ahead and bet $25 or $50, but I always tell people bet smart. But if you want to bet a couple of games, just have action. But I agree, there are always one or two games that I narrow down to. Sometimes I just have one big play, and I just lock, if I have my clients and are up money, then we just hammer one game and that's it, because it's much easier to go 1-0 than it is to go 3-0 or 4-0 on any given day. And I always find the NFL more daunting than college. I like the college football. I find a little bit easier for me because I have more games to choose from, and I find always weaknesses in the line. In the NFL, everybody knows every player, every coach, but in college football, there are obscure teams. Like even the game we talked about with Boise and Oklahoma State, most people don't know much about that. So those type of games we find good value in.
Great stuff as always, Joe. Thank you so much. You know, kick butt in kick butt this week, please. With all your dogs.
Tune in tomorrow at 6 a.m.
All your dogs. That's right. And tune in tomorrow at 6 a.m.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.